Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, we have John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house every Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Well, what happened Tuesday? Well, Tuesday night, after John was with us on the show, that's when President Trump delivered the best address to Congress that I've ever seen in my lifetime. And so now, of course, I was too young when a lot of the Reagan speeches took place. So while I've seen some of those speeches, you know, after the fact, I'm talking about watching something live. Man, this thing was just epic all around. It had everything you needed. It had humor. It had some lighthearted moments. It just had some heartwarming moments. And here were these heartless Democrats. We already knew they lost their minds, but they showed us Tuesday night that they were heartless. But anyway, so since the address was Tuesday night, many of you didn't get to hear what John Jackson, the Joker from X, thought about the big speech on Tuesday night. So he's here with us on this Thursday morning. That way we don't have to wait till next Tuesday to find out. So, John, great to see you. Yeah, that was kind of my summary looking back on the president's speech was, we already knew that the Democrats were out of their minds, but this showed that not only were they out of their minds, but they were heartless as well.
They played right into his hands because even as he walked in, none of them even stood up. None of them came over to greet him, nothing. They already got their signs up. They already showed what they were going to do. And they already knew they had the sergeant arms ready for several of them. It was supposed to be several of them were going to stand up and disrupt the proceedings and have to get physically thrown out, like, you know, like bouncing, like drunk people out of a bar. They played right into Trump's hands because Trump already had the speech set up to go at them. So he just gave him all the excuse he needed.
Yeah, they made themselves look silly from the first second. Al Green was the congressman who got thrown out, who was standing up and yelling like the angry old man yelling at a kid to get off his lawn. Did you see his ponytail, by the way? He had a big, long ponytail. And then who's the Democrat congresswoman with the she almost looks like lipstick Lex Luthor kind of.
Milk Dud there?
Who's that?
Presley?
Oh, is that Presley? Dud? Okay, yeah. Presley. All right. Yeah, so anyway, that leads into this clip. Adam Carolla, the comedian and actor Adam Carolla, was on with Jesse Waters last night, and he made a very good point about the Democrats. And you could use this same line to talk about Montana Democrats right now as well.
It's funny, the Democratic Party, the women are bald and the men have ponytails. So it's not exactly your grandpa's party. But, you know, ultimately what's going to bring down the Democrats is pride. They talk about pride. They talk about gay pride. They talk about black pride. They're pride. Everything's pride. Everything's a pin. And they need to drop it. They need to humble themselves and move on. It's pride. And then Trump shamed them and they're acting out like high school girls. The pride is what's causing the problem for them.
And then Jesse Waters, of course, makes a great point about, oh, yeah, these people, they have so much pride. They're so proudful, but yet they're not proud of our country. They despise our country. They call it, constantly calling it racist and more. You name it. Anyway, John Jackson next.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Most noteworthy thing about President Trump's speech to Congress last night was the atrocious behavior of the Democrats who were hooting and hollering, Al Green shaking his cane at the president and getting evicted. But it was interesting that Trump said no matter what he did, the Democrats would never applaud him since Republicans have sat on their hands during many Democratic presidential speeches. He talked about the country being woke no more. He talked about inheriting an inflation nightmare, not doing that much about it so far. He finally got around to the DOGE budget cuts and rattled off lots of examples. He said he would balance the budget. He's not even going to come close, especially with his pitch for tax cuts and no tax on Social Security benefits. And then he sung the praises of tariffs and the tariff war he's unleashed, although that may get softened as early as today. Successful speech because he controls everything in this city. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I love what Adam Carolla just did. What right there? I mean, I would try to make the point, but Adam Carolla made it way better than I could have tried to make the point. Over the last several years, you know, the Montana Democrats, they've been so prideful in their push for this radical transgender ideology, and how Adam Carolla summed that up. I mean, if you want to call it a pun, if you want to call it an allegory, if you want to call it a double entendre, whatever word you want. I actually have a great Christian mentor friend of mine, and I was trying to think of the word that he's used. So apparently, I should check with our rabbi friend on this one as well. Apparently, there's a concept known as a midrashic wordplay, which is where one word can have two different meanings or several meanings, right? Like one word, we could come up with many examples where a word has several different meanings, but that's what Adam Carolla just did right there. He took this word that they use, pride, to push their radical agenda and to divide Americans, and pointed out how it's that very thing. It's their pride that is destroying the Democrat Party.
Well, you and I talked in the break. You remember when W. Bush came in back in 2000, and you had Tom Daschle on the other side, who was the opposition, and who conducted himself very understated and like a lawyer and dressed like a lawyer, although, of course, he was stabbing Bush in the back at every opportunity. His appearance to the public looked very professional, very congenial. Whereas these guys now, the Democrat Party since Obama, they thought they were going to bring in the crazies and they were going to be the lion tamers and keep these crazies under wraps. But see, now all the lion tamers are gone. Okay, Obama's in the background. Nancy Pelosi's walking around with a cane. She can't do anything. You don't hear from Schumer. They're running the place now. Jasmine Crockett and Presley and the squad and people like Al Green are running the place. And you know what, Aaron? I love it. I want Jasmine Crockett to be the voice of the Democrats all the way through 28.
Yeah. All they're doing is further isolating themselves. And I mean, the polling data coming out of CBS and CNN and these other outlets show that overwhelmingly positive, 60-70% positive response to the president's address the other night.
Oh, what, it was 76% on that CBS poll, I think, 76%. And you know, if that CBS poll, you know what that means? It was probably 85% people that actually approved it.
Probably much higher than that. You probably saw this also. Here, Senate Democrats, they all read from the same script. They can't even think their own thoughts and record their own video. So they put these videos together ahead of the president's address to Congress, and they were all the same. They all read from a script. Sean Hannity had a great, this is a very short clip here, but Sean Hannity put it all together on his program last night.
Earlier in the day, a truly bizarre, strange, awkward display of dozens of prominent Democrats simultaneously, seemingly, posting a video on social media attacking the president while using the exact same format, the exact same script. You can't make this up. Take a look.
To lower costs for you.
Yeah, they all said the exact same thing. That was 22 Senate Democrats. And if John Tester was still there, you would have made it 23.
You know what? We forgot to talk about the second best line of the night of the speech, where he just, you know, the only thing that Democrats clapped for all night was $200 billion going to Ukraine. And he looked over, Trump looked over and said, oh, you want more? Oh, yeah, I bet Pocahontas does.
Oh, yeah.
Just called her Pocahontas.
It was hilarious. Yeah, because I think the context behind that, because I love that soundbite. So he talked about all the money that's been spent on Ukraine, and of course most Americans were looking at that saying, "My goodness, we could have used that money to rebuild the St. Mary Irrigation Project all across the High Line of Montana. My goodness, we could have done this, we could have done that." But there was clapping. That was the Democrats clapping for all of that money that was spent, our money. And so Trump says, oh, you want to keep the war going for another 5 years? And he's scanning the room, and he says, oh, Pocahontas says yes, because she was nodding in agreement. And then the C-SPAN camera panned right to her. It was hilarious.
And, of course, I got to give her credit, though. She did it. She just sat there and did not show her. It didn't show her scowling. It showed her just clapping and kind of smiling. She took it well.
Well, she always has the resting angry face.
B-face.
She always has the resting angry face there. So, you'll see that. Coming up after the next break, we got a great guest on the show. He's going to be the keynote speaker for the upcoming Billings Christian Schools fundraising banquet. And then after that, I've got Jessica Rosenthal from Fox News Radio. Did you watch any of the Sanctuary City mayors on Capitol Hill yesterday?
I did.
They got tore up. They got lit into.
Oh, Nancy Mace, you know, we're talking about the break. Nancy Mace was lighting them up because she had one question for them, and she wanted a yes or no answer because she only has, you know, what, 5 minutes to question them. And she was going down the row, and she'd say, okay, yes or no to this question. And of course, they just go off on whatever. You know, okay, next, you? Okay, yes or no to this question. And next, you know.
Well, and the clip that I want to play, if I don't get to it this hour of the show, I'm going to play it in the 9 o'clock hour. Byron Donalds, Florida Congressman Byron Donalds. I mean, he went and asked every one of them how much money they have given to non-citizens in their cities. And, of course, Mayor Adams of New York is like, yeah, $76 billion, you know, because he's been calling it out. And one of the other mayors was like, 1%. What, how much is that? Well, 1%. I want the dollar figure. He refused to give the dollar figure.
They should have just said it, because you know they have it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think eventually they did say it, but I'll roll that audio later this hour or next hour for sure. John, thanks for dropping in. Great to see you. We'll see you again Tuesday for sure.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
AI has already arrived in the economy, as many of us know from firsthand experience. It appears to be arriving in the job market in ways that not everyone has appreciated, because the job growth experienced by the economy in the last 18 months has become a lot more hollow than it was earlier in the post-COVID expansion. Higher-paying manufacturing, corporate, finance, and information jobs made up about a quarter of all net new jobs created in the national economy up through mid-2023. But since that time, hiring has basically stopped. In the last 18 months, 20% of net new jobs have been government jobs, especially local government. The pattern is consistent with the individual stories of big tech companies like Meta, which have made significant headcount reductions and say they are planning more. Those same companies are announcing huge spending on data centers to serve the demands of AI. Are those ambitious plans pushing spending away from employee headcounts? And is AI that following allowing those headcount reductions to happen? I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Donald Trump's America.
President Trump claims the Department of Government Efficiency, led by billionaire Elon Musk, is saving tens of billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse. And he's considering sending 20% of those savings to American taxpayers.
By doing this, Americans will tell us where there's waste. They'll be reporting it themselves. They participate in the process of saving money.
Another 20% of savings, the president says, would help pay down federal debt.
If you look at value, if it were a real estate balance sheet, the debt is tiny, but we still want to pay it down.
It's not yet clear how much the DOGE effort will save in several court cases or challenging actions the administration is taking to cancel funding and lay off federal workers. Musk first raised the idea of so-called DOGE dividend checks, saying he believes it could total $5,000 per taxpayer. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Man, I'm really glad that we have this great guest on the show with us right now, because I was like, man, when is this event? I got to make sure I got it on my calendar. So I went to BillingsChristian.org, Tuesday, April 8th. So you've got a little over a month. You've got time to get a table, to get tickets, become a VIP sponsor, et cetera. I tell you what, though, this is one of my favorite events to go to every year, the Billings Christian School Banquet. They always bring in some of the most incredible speakers you will get a chance to hear from. We've got their keynote speaker for this year's banquet on the phone lines with us right now, a retired United States Army Major General, Tom Soljom. Served as the 25th Chief of Chaplains of the United States Army. And before that, it looks like he had a career serving as a chaplain in the special operations community as well. General, chaplain, an honor to have you on the show this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, great to be with you, Aaron, and thank you for having me.
Well, it's so great as somebody who, you know, got to serve in some special operations units. I tell you what, it was such an honor. I always joke, I'm not a Green Beret. I just kind of, you know, drank their Devil's Brigade whiskey. But so many incredible folks, that serve in that special operations community in particular. I can't imagine the stories you must have.
I had a bumpy start. So, I came from a broken home, troubled youth, and a lot of drugs. And in 1974, when the Volunteer Army was being stood up, I joined on the delayed entry. As soon as in 1973, between your junior and senior year, you could sign up. And I went into the Army to get away, and I found, unfortunately, in that time, a perfect incubator for a lot of my vices. So the short story version here is a lot of drug addiction, a couple of overdoses, and then an intervention by a man who was a medic, African-American medic, Sergeant First Class McElroy, who asked me a transformational question one day. He said, "Is your life worth living this way?" And I had no answer. And he happened to be a Christian, and so you can kind of figure out where this is going from there. So through that relationship, I became a Christian, and in that context, met a chaplain who had a tremendous impact on my life, and I prayed a simple prayer one day. I said, "Lord, I'd do anything," and I thought about it, and I said, "I'd even be an Army chaplain." Look at what happened.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you were the command chaplain for U.S. Army Special Forces Command, JSOC, the Joint Special Operations Command, and then U.S. Special Operations Command, SOCOM. I mean, that's just absolutely incredible. Yeah. And, when I was in Afghanistan, we had a great chaplain. He was a National Guard chaplain, I think, out of Missouri. And it was so great. After we suffered a hard loss, he came out, rode around in the gun trucks with us. He even said, "You know what, I'll drive the truck for you guys so that you can have an extra guy out there as a dismount for you." And just remarkable. And that's what chaplains like you do. You just get out there and you just talk with the soldiers and you support them.
Yeah, we're totally integrated. And we bring that presence, that other presence, to soldiers. It's a very unique relationship that you share with them when you do the things that they do. And you build bonds of trust and rapport, and it leads you to have some pretty intimate, deep conversations with people and to be there in times of trauma or grief or loss or just normal things that life can throw at you. So it was a great place to minister among the men and women in special operations community and the rest of the Army. I loved it. It was a wonderful career. I served a total of 49 years.
Wow.
But life is good on the other side.
That it is. I love my shiny retired ID card myself now as well. And now I can plan a camping trip with my family instead of a camping trip for annual training this summer or something like that. But also miss the people and the uniform, of course, as well. I caught up with you. I had 30 seconds during the break to ask you if you plan on talking, what you plan on talking about, if you have a plan already lined up for what you're going to talk about at the Billings Christian School banquet coming up next month. And so you gave me a quick little rundown. And to me, you're going to answer or talk about the biggest question that's been raised by some of our own listeners here. We've had listeners across Montana that say, hey, Aaron, yes, we want this president. Yes, we want this change in Washington, D.C. But they said, but Aaron, fundamentally, what our country needs is a spiritual revolution, a spiritual transformation, that if we really want America, who celebrates her 250th anniversary next year, to survive for another 250 years, we have got to have a spiritual awakening. It sounds like that's what you're planning on talking about.
Yeah, it is. I have, just to give you some quick backdrop, so I am, retired is a misnomer. My wife says I transitioned, so... I am a founding partner with Dr. Lisa Miller, who is the nation's leading researcher in the science of spirituality and spiritual life at Columbia University. And so she's my partner. We have an entity called the Global Spiritual Awakening and Renewal, and we're really focusing on educating. She traveled with me when I was the chief of chaplains throughout the Army, and we educated the Army and helped the Army to have that spiritual pillar strengthened and to increase readiness. And what spiritual life is a science, evidence-based science now. So this is not a theological statement. This is a scientific statement. Just like you're born with a body and a mind and other vital organs, you're also born spiritually. It's 30% innate, 70% environment. Temperaments 50-50, IQ 60-40. So we're in the process of working with this administration to assist them in whatever ways we can. But I think the focal point has to be, yes, we need a spiritual awakening in our country, a re-embrace of our founding values and principles, because we're in a national readiness crisis, Aaron. Our nation's youth are not healthy spiritually, which in turn affects their physical, mental, and social well-being. We see obesity, diseases, autism, poor and diet and nutrition, mental health issues, diseases of despair, suicide, gender dysphoria, substance abuse, social media slamming. I could just build this out, right? And what we saw coming into the Army was less and less of our citizens able to meet the standards in any of our military services. And then those that were coming in didn't have the kind of grit and spiritual core. So when difficult circumstances comes, they tap out. So we have a real problem as a nation. And what's happened to us, Aaron, very quickly for your audience, is in an effort to be inclusive about 50 years ago in our culture, and secular, we threw out the baby, that's spiritual life, with the bathwater, that's religion, and our religious freedoms that our founders envisioned. And they gave us a stark warning in our founding that a society that embraces these values can only function, a democracy can only function by embracing these values and beliefs. It's the only way to preserve and sustain it, to your point. So I'm going to be focusing on how important spiritual wellness and health is at Billings Christian School, and how important their work is in building this generation of tomorrow's leaders and civil society itself. We say in the military, and you know this, Aaron, you got to get left of the bang, right? So you got to get there early. And we need to help our families and our educational system and our schools to become spiritually strong and fit again.
Well, it's going to be incredible. I can't wait to see it. In fact, what I'd love to do, I know a lot of our listeners are like, man, Aaron, we got to have this guy on for a full hour or two. What I'd love to do is when you're in Montana for this event, I'd love to get you in here for a full hour or something to talk, because I'd love to get your take on what's happening with recruiting now and more of these. Because, and I also think everything that you just said, there's so many programs out there that work to help veterans, and we all know the challenges of veteran suicide. And it seems to me like you can have a great program, but if there isn't a spiritual or a faith-based element to it, I don't see how it can ever truly be successful. And I know that might sound somewhat shocking to some people, but I'd love to get your take on that, when we get you here in studio, if possible.
I would love to, and I can get. Do I have time to give you one quick example?
You know what? Go for it, and then I'll sneak on Russ Corson here with the Billings Christian School in a second as well.
Okay, so just very quick for your the Veterans Administration, God bless them, right? This is public information. So 22% of those calling into their hotline and into their system complete suicide. The people that are seeking help, 22% complete suicide, last year's statistics. One faith-based organization that I know very well, in their call center, they had 2,964 calls for help, suicidal ideation, suicide issues. And in the course of 1 year, only one completed suicide. That's amazing, and it's because of that spiritual foundation, that faith-based foundation that they bring to the approach in dealing with the human condition. So it's a very—you're absolutely right. It's very, very powerful, and I believe the president has a vision for this country when he says "Make America Great Again." This is a huge component of it. It is making America healthy again. Is another element of it, but they combine.
Spiritual health has got to be a component of it.
It's a great nation.
Yeah. Well, General Soldier, it's been an honor chatting with you this morning. I know that was just a brief teaser. We can't wait to hear your remarks and get a chance to see you in person about 1 month from now. Yeah, he'll be headlining the Billings Christian School Fundraising Banquet. Go to BillingsChristian.org for banquet details. Get tickets, get tables, and more. Ross Corson, stand by. I'll try to sneak you on right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, thankfully, Ross Corson with Billings Christian School, with the Billings Christian Education Foundation, is gonna stay on the phone lines here. I was going to sneak him on just before that last break, but, man, General Soldier was making such an incredible point that needed to be made there. And so thankfully, Ross was like, oh, yeah, keep going with the general. And Ross will join us here in just a couple of minutes. But first up, earlier in the hour, I was talking with John Jackson, the Joker from X, about these congressional hearings featuring the sanctuary city mayors. And wow, some of these mayors didn't even want to tell the American people how much taxpayer funds are going to non-citizens, how much of taxpayer funds are going to illegal aliens. Jessica Rosenthal with Fox News Radio now with us on the phone lines. Jessica, thanks for joining us. Great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for having me. Yes, to your point about the numbers, New York's mayor told the committee, the oversight committee, he spent nearly $7 billion with a B dollars on illegal immigration in his city. From there, we hear from the Denver mayor, $79 million. The Chicago mayor said 1% of their budget had been spent on this. When pressed for an actual dollar figure, he said he didn't know. And the mayor of Boston said they don't ask people about their immigration status before they give them any services, so there's just no way for them to track that number.
Yeah, it was very interesting because obviously New York City Mayor Adams, he's actually been speaking out. He spoke out during the Biden years against this invasion of illegal aliens. So he's more than happy to say, this is how much money this is costing us. Whereas the sanctuary city mayors, they don't want people to know how much because they're fully in support of what was taking place and is still taking place. There was a bit of some fireworks and back and forth as well.
Yeah, they were pretty defensive of their policies. So the mayors, in particular, Boston and Chicago, they actually told the committee point blank they think their crime rate is, they say their crime rate is lower now, and they attribute that actually, they say, in part to their immigrant population. They say immigrants commit crimes at a lower rate than citizens. And while that may be true to a certain extent, they did not distinguish between legal or illegal immigrants. And Republicans were absolutely infuriated by this, insisting that one violent crime by one illegal alien is too many, simply because these people aren't authorized to be here. So like South Carolina's Congresswoman Nancy Mace said, these mayors have blood on their hands. And Representative Gary Palmer cited the deaths of Lakin Riley, Jocelyn Nungery, Rachel Marin, the woman who was set on fire on the subway, saying that none of these would have happened if these people hadn't been allowed into the country. So moving forward, I guess the question is, so what now? Because these mayors aren't signaling any changes to what how they operate. And so Anna Paulina Luna of Florida held up some documents in the middle of the hearing and was like, not to bully you guys, but I don't think what you're doing is good for the American people, and I'm going to refer you criminally to the Department of Justice. I believe you're violating federal law. Other lawmakers throughout the hearing had questioned if they understood what the Supremacy Clause was, but federal law trumps state law, especially on matters of immigration, as you might imagine. But this has been somewhat litigated. I mean, we saw during Trump 1.0 some of the same discussion. And it seems like legally there's been a conclusion that as long as you don't interfere with the federal government as they carry out their orders, as they enforce immigration law, then cities and counties and states can have sort of these, you know, differing and varying and competing versions of sanctuary policies. I think we're going to have another legal showdown, though, here, possibly.
Yeah, I saw Tom Holman was on with Laura Ingraham last night, firing back at the Boston mayor in particular. Yeah, I've seen them quote these, well, immigrants are, you know, less likely to commit crimes than citizens. Well, they're using historical data, and yes, involving legal immigrants. And what they're not acknowledging is what took place these last 4 years, where anybody and everybody was basically, you know, people on the terrorist watch list. And you mentioned the crime victims. So I went to journalism school, so I'm not that good at math. You may be able to identify with that. So I asked Grok, which is Elon Musk's, AI platform, what is 1% of Chicago's budget? Apparently, 1% of Chicago's 2025 proposed and approved budget of $17.1 billion, apparently $171 million would be 1% of Chicago's budget. $171 million for illegal aliens in Chicago is what their mayor basically told us.
I think that's fair. Denver's mayor was saying $79 million. New York's mayor is saying $6.9 billion. So I imagine it would, you know, that wouldn't be far-fetched. I mean, we did see Chicago get hit pretty hard. I mean, we saw people sleeping on the floors of police stations. I was in Chicago for the convention this past August, right, the Democratic convention.
Yeah.
And one of the people I ended up spending talking to was a police officer who really told me, and it was like a conversation more on background. He didn't go on. I didn't get him on tape. But he really let loose and told me how dire it's been, how crazy it's been, how many Venezuelan migrants have come to their city, how many police calls they were getting, even still then in August of last year, to help and deal with Venezuelan migrants. And he was like, I speak Spanish. So I get put on all, like, people in the department are begging me to, like, you know, go to all these different houses and all these different calls, domestic disputes. He's like, I've never seen anything like it. And he's been with Chicago PD for like 20 years.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. And no wonder that the folks, you know, especially the native Chicagoans and every, you know, especially in the black community, have just been, you know, firing back at their city, demanding accountability. Jessica Rosenthal with Fox News Radio. Great to get your insight. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right. I do want to play a little bit of that back and forth because, as I mentioned earlier, Byron Donalds, Florida Congressman Byron Donalds, absolutely tore into these sanctuary city mayors, and you'll hear some of that back and forth that Jessica was referring to there. And then if we have time, I'll play some reaction of Tom Homan. You know, the President Trump's borders are responding to the Boston mayor. First, though, let's go to Ross Corson with Billings Christian Schools. I tell you what, if you guys heard General Soljom just a few minutes ago, you're going to want to get tickets. You're going to want to be at their really important fundraising banquet coming up in about a month. Ross, thanks for lining that up. That was so great to catch up with the general.
Well, it's always a team work in progress. And, Aaron, you've been involved over a number of years as our host, and we really appreciate that. Billings Christian School, we believe what Tom Soljom says is that you have to be on mission. And when it comes to choosing speakers, I was thinking back over the years, Lee Strobel, Tim Tebow, Trey Gowdy, Eric Metaxas, everybody we choose, including this year's speaker, is on mission. They have some component of their life that they have, but they have this core mission, and that's a mission to serve God in some way, shape, or form. And so while we really are promoting Billings Christian School, and it's our major fundraiser, we're really hoping people will pick a nugget out of something in the evening that will help them be on mission with their lives. And it's just a privilege to serve the Foundation Board and be with you on the air and talk about this.
Well, and I especially hope so many, I hope our veterans that are listening, especially right now, can figure out a way to get the word out to our fellow veterans, especially those that might be struggling. Come listen to what this chaplain has to say and come listen to his message, because we know that so many veterans in particular are struggling. And I think he was totally spot on, is that, you know, we can have cool fishing trips and hunting trips and all this, but if there is not a spiritual component, how are we ever truly going to serve people and help people? And I love the fact that he's really going to focus on the youth as well, because if we want to save America and make sure that this great American Republic lasts for another 250 years at least, we've got to focus on the next generations. I mean, how did the communists take over China? They focused on the youth. And so if we want to save America, we've got to focus on the youth.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And we play a huge part in the Billings educational community, but also on the spiritual side, too. We put Christ first, but we have a superb educational system. We're pre-K through 12th grade. We just invited a Bible college on our campus, and we don't have time to talk about that, but all the way through a four-year degree, where Christ is put first, but the educational component is at a very high level. So you get both. And we want to be there like Tom Soljom and serve Christ in that way.
BillingsChristian.org is the website, so you can get a table and bring friends or get tickets. What's the best way for them to get a hold of you, Ross?
Well, if you want to talk to me live, you can call the main office at 656-9484. But just as you said, Aaron, BillingsChristian.org will take you right to where you can get tickets and get more information. But feel free to call. I'd love to talk to you. And one thing I might add too, Aaron, I am scouring around and I'm finding there's Army chaplains and other military branch.
Oh yeah, make sure they're there.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Last night was an unmitigated disaster for the Democratic Party. They did an awful lot of damage to themselves last night. Incalculable damage to themselves. Not that I really care. That's who they are. These are the injustices that went on that most people didn't pay attention to. Last night, America saw it. Last night, you got to see the soul of that party, and it was void and empty. You don't stand for moms, and you don't stand for a 13-year-old cancer survivor. You don't stand for a kid getting into West Point. That, to me, is a party that is soulless and rudderless and visionless.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
It's been used as a store of value for thousands of years. It's known as a safe haven asset in times of uncertainty. It's breaking record after record this year, and many economists are predicting it could skyrocket even higher. Of course, I'm talking about the precious metal, gold. Right now, thousands of Americans are looking to precious metals like gold and silver to diversify their savings. Even central banks around the world are stocking up on gold. Is it time you learn more about what precious metals can do for you? Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. Right now, the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, is offering a free gold and silver kit to arm you with the facts about how gold could potentially help safeguard your retirement. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy of the 2025 gold and silver kit free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
Taking deductions for elder care. I'm Jeannie Cosolda with your Fox Business Tax Tip. Coming up.
It's the Will Cain Show. Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday on FoxNews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss a show. Get the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Doing taxes for a relative in a care facility? CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says make sure you keep track of all the costs.
A lot of the expenses paid to the facility may be considered to be medical expenses and can be included in the itemized deductions on Schedule A.
And there are also other deductions.
Long-term care insurance, those premiums are also considered to be medical expenses.
You are expected to file a tax return no matter how old you are. Jenny Cosolda, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, one more quick note there. Ross Corson, when we got cut off by the break there, what he was saying is, hey, if you know a military chaplain or a veteran who was a military chaplain, either currently serving or who has served, get those names to Billings Christian School and get those names to Ross Corson, because they would love to get any Montana military chaplains in the room for that event with General Soldium. Reach out to them. And he's got some names already, but we know there's more out there. And hey, even some of you, if you're elsewhere across the state, I think it's going to be worth the trip. All right. We also talked with Jessica Rosenthal from Fox News Radio about the Sanctuary City mayors testifying at the congressional hearing yesterday. I'll get to Byron Donalds at some point, maybe next hour, if not this hour. But first, Tom Holman was talking about going after the criminal illegal aliens in Boston. And then the mayor of Boston took a shot at Tom Holman. Laura Ingraham had both the action and the reaction last night.
I am bringing hell to Boston. I'm bringing hell to illegal aliens that rape children. That's what I'm bringing hell to. I'm bringing hell to those people who violated this child. These children will never be the same. Their families will never be the same.
Let's talk about Tom Homan. Shame on him for lying about my city, for having the nerve to insult our police commissioner who has overseen the safest Boston's been in anyone's lifetime. Bring him here under oath, and let's ask him some questions. I am here to make sure that the city of Boston is safe. Others may want to bring hell. We are here to bring peace to cities everywhere.
All right, so then she got Tom Homan's reaction. Laura Ingraham got Tom Homan's reaction to that, what you just heard from the mayor of Boston. And Tom Homan's response was, I'm going to sleep so good now. I am going to sleep so well knowing that I get to live rent-free in the head of the mayor of Boston. And he talked about what a blessing it is to get to work for the best president of the United States, focused on securing this country and making America safe once again. He then added this when it comes to Boston and these sanctuary cities in particular.
Mayor Wu should be standing side by side with me. Who does not want to bring hell to an illegal alien that raped a child? Not one, many of them. I stopped counting at nine. As far as the mayor of Chicago, about we're not making this community safer, I went up there, did a one-day operation. We took seven TDA members off the street. We took two illegal aliens that were convicted of murder that they released, took them off the street. We arrested six child predators, took them off the streets of Chicago. ICE is making every one of those cities safer because they're releasing public safety threats back into the public.
Yeah, there you go. Well said, man. Tom Holman. What an incredible patriot that guy is. Unafraid, undeterred, unapologetic, nor should he be apologetic for the incredible job and service that he is doing for our country right now. Okay, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, normally every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, we do our weekly legislative update. But this week, what do they have coming up? Tomorrow is the transmittal deadline, which means state lawmakers are in a big pinch right now. Tomorrow is halftime for the Montana legislature. And if a lot of these bills don't get across the finish line by tomorrow, that means those bills are dead. And you can't bring them up again until the next legislative session 2 years from now. So they have been working on hundreds of different bills just this week alone. So that being said, normally we would have the Republican Senate president kick off the hour, and then it would be followed by the House Minority Democrat whip in the 9 o'clock hour as well. But they are both very busy with floor action on the House floor and on the Senate floor this week. So what that means is you can call in with a legislative update of your own, if you'd like. Or if you've got some other topics you want to talk about, you can call in as well. We've got open phones coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. And I'm going to play the Byron Donalds back and forth with these sanctuary city mayors. It is must-hear audio.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
AI has already arrived in the economy, as many of us know from firsthand experience. It appears to be arriving in the job market in ways that not everyone has appreciated, because the job growth experienced by the economy in the last 18 months has become a lot more hollow than it was earlier in the post-COVID expansion. Higher-paying manufacturing, corporate, finance, and information jobs made up about a quarter of all net new jobs created in the national economy up through mid-2023. But since that time, hiring has basically stopped. In the last 18 months, 20% of net new jobs have been government jobs, especially local government. The pattern is consistent with the individual stories of big tech companies like Meta, which have made significant headcount reductions and say they are planning more. Those same companies are announcing huge spending on data centers to serve the demands of AI. Are those ambitious plans pushing spending away from employee headcounts? And is AI that following allowing those headcount reductions to happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.